This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, I'm Charlie Baker and welcome to Glory Hunters, the show that aims to find the smartest celebrity fans in football. Teams from all divisions face one another as our guests have the honour of representing the side they've always supported. The winning club will progress to the next round while the losers face expulsion from the league. But who will be victorious? Who will be vanquished? It's up for grabs now on Glory Hunters. So let's start by meeting our first team captain, comedian George Lewis. Morning, George.
Morning.
And alongside you is comedian and actor and Wolves fan, Alex Lowe. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning.
How are you?
Yeah, great, thanks.
Thanks for coming in. What do we need to know about you? It's difficult to put you in a box, Alex. You're so multi-talented. You do so many different things.
Yeah, well, I'm sort of a comedy type actor. I'm about to go on tour playing my character Clinton Baptiste that I did in Phoenix Nights.
Oh, yeah, now, you were in Phoenix Nights. Yeah. How long ago, when did that finish?
Long, long time ago.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got...
But still massively popular.
Well, no, I mean, I'm just wringing out the last vestiges of it. It's 18 years later, still performing on the basis of two scenes in
it's
one
Phoenix
episode.
It's Phoenix Nights.
Yeah, it's Phoenix Nights. Remember? So I live in Watford. I'm representing Wolves, but I don't have any connection with Wolves other than my son is a massive Wolves fan. I stuck a picture of QPR, which is my team, on the fridge against Wolves, and he went for the wrong ones when he was seven. Now I'm a season ticket holder at Molineux. Unbelievable.
What a tragic tale.
Yeah, no, his mum, in the way that mums do. So, wasn't it lovely? He's got his own individual thing. And you want to say, you don't understand. Once you start, that's it. So,
as a superhero origin story, this is not a good one.
No, that's right. Yeah, but you know, so I feel a little bit guilty. I went to see QPR the other night. Strange being back there. I felt a bit of a Judas, but they.
Well, I know exactly what you felt. I went to Oxford versus Millwall in the week. My son, we live near Oxford. My son wanted to go and watch Oxford, so he went.
Yeah.
Millwall was so noisy and so rowdy. He was like, "That looks good fun over there."
Compared to Oxford, Oxford,
exactly.
You don't get it.
You don't understand.
Yeah, you don't understand it.
Clinton Baptiste. Tell us who he is. Tell us what he does.
Oh, well, Clinton Baptiste was a kind of terrible, hapless, undiplomatic. Clairvoyant medium psychic who would, you know, tell people the bare facts or would suggest that they had a terminal illness, that he was picking these, you know, messages off from beyond the celestial veil. And, you know, for some reason, people still want to see it, clearly. So I've managed to expand those few short moments into an hour's show.
And when you become Clinton Baptiste, do you get any psychic abilities all of a sudden?
Well,
does anything ever happen by accident?
The funny thing is that, you know, I've done gigs, quite a lot of gigs in London, where people come along and say, "Can I see him afterwards?" And they come and say, "Yeah, you don't realise that." And there's one I did in Twickenham, where a woman came backstage and she said, "You don't realise, but your grandmother was behind you on the stage." And I was like, you know, I was kind of taken aback. And I said, "What does she look like?" And she looked a bit like you. Oh, brilliant.
Oh, that narrows it down.
Surprise.
She had eyes.
She's a blood relative. What did you expect? But the other thing I get, I do a lot of stuff with feathers, where I do this kind of card. Now, spirits have given me feathers, and it's a feather from beyond, you know, the celestial veil. And they want you to have that, my darling. And the amount of times I hear people going, "Yeah, that is a sign." is a sign. And I always think, it's a sign I went to Hobbycraft about half an hour before the gig. That's the sign, you know. So some people take it very seriously, and I think it's obviously a joke.
George, hello, mate.
Yes,
good morning.
Hello.
You just finished your tour, A Man With A Plan, A Girl With Fake
That's
Tan.
That's it, yes.
A huge success.
It was all right.
Oh, sell yourself.
We sold a few, yeah. Yeah, it was nice. It was nice doing the tour. I've finished now. I'm writing the next show. I have had to pull a lot of shows because I've just become a dad again for the second time.
And you told me about this. You've become a dad again pretty quickly after the first one.
Yeah, there's 14 months between.
Yeah, that's a huge mistake.
It was a mistake.
Yeah, massive mistake.
Have you been talking to her?
Who's right. Your team? Who's your football team?
I'm a Man United fan.
Oh, Man United fan. Yeah. Rare to find one of those at the moment.
Yes.
Not a great season at the moment.
It's not been good, has it? At least it's exciting at the moment, though, because you don't know what's going on. It's a young team. You don't know what's going on. I mean, you have a pretty good idea what's going to happen, but you don't know. It at least feels exciting at the moment. But yeah, it's not the best time to be a United fan.
How would you improve Man United at the moment if you were Ole?
I'd resign.
Would you?
No. I do. I really like him. I think I'd carry on playing all the youngsters. I think that's the right thing to do. I think he just needs a bit of time. I think it's a really exciting time. I think they're all so keen. That's exactly what you want. But it just looks like we're so far off City and Liverpool, and it's so depressing.
Yeah, so you don't hold with my thing that it'll be gone by Christmas.
He might be.
You never know. Well, thanks for joining us on Glory Hunters, and you and George will be representing Wolves. Have you ever been to Wolverhampton Wanderers, George?
I've never been, no.
Never been?
No, I've never been
never
to
Molyneux.
Oh, it's a cracker.
It's a proper, old-fashioned, good
and
away
very,
day.
Very loud fans.
Very loud fans.
It's nothing like old.
Try and get there, George. It's a very, very good. Now, Alex, one of your friends as well. I'm going to call them your friends rather than your characters. One of your friends is, of course, Barry from Watford.
Yes.
I don't know if he'll be joining us later on.
I'll see if he can make it.
See if he can make it. You live in Watford, and our other team captain today is a Watford fan, Kelly.
I am.
Good morning. Kelly Summers, broadcaster, team captain today. Thanks for coming on to Glory Hunters.
Thanks for having me. Fortunately, given Watford's form, we're not representing Watford at the moment, but maybe there's a win round the corner for Watford.
Yeah, exactly. Are there any Watford legends you'll be trying to emulate today?
No one's ever heard of anyone that I would consider a Watford legend. I did something the other week and I mentioned, it was something else for TalkSport, and we talked about the player that got us into football, and I said who it was, Nicky Wright, scored in the 1999 playoff final, and everyone went, Who?
Oh,
so, I mean, John Barnes is a bit of a Watford legend, went on to have a good career at Liverpool.
Luca Blissett.
I should have gone to Luca. It was before my time, but yeah.
Isaac Success?
Success in name, but not so much on the pitch at
Who's
the
moment. Who's your favourite current player?
Troy Deeney, for what he's done for Watford. I think we've got a few exciting attackers, Roberto Pereira, Gerard Deulofeu. But yeah, probably got to say Troy Deeney, really.
When you say Troy Deeney for what he's done for Watford, would you mean falling over with 15 seconds to go in the semi-final of the FA Cup at Wembley?
And please,
they're not much of a challenge.
This is right.
But who won?
Already, mate. Let's get this competitive.
I'm not going to get into this because ultimately that will then lead to us talking about the FA Cup final.
Oh, dear.
And I probably don't really want to talk about that. But that game against Wolves, you were 2-0 up.
Yeah.
I won't say the chant because obviously I'll have to swear. 2-0 up and you...
Sing us the chant, Kelly. Go on.
No, I won't. I can't sing.
And chant the words.
I can't sing.
And you
messed it up.
We'll go with that.
So I'm surprised that you brought that up. But yeah, I don't want to talk about the FA Cup final, but that win over Wolves was my highlight of last season.
Was it? And how did you get into sports broadcasting?
When I was younger, actually, it came from supporting Watford. I won a competition. I was into writing at school. I won a competition as the young local sports journalist of the year. Won a day in the press box. No. I won a day in the Watford press box, which has since been knocked down. So it's really not that exciting. And then from then on in, I said to my mum, that's what I want to do. I was 10 years old and I said, I want to watch football and get paid for it. And sometimes I get to do that now. So it's pretty exciting. Get to do it sometimes with Watford. Got to see them lose 3-0 to Brighton on the opening day of the season.
Oh, lovely.
So I get the highs and the lows. But
I was going to say, what was second prize? 2 days in the Watford press box.
I won a mobile phone as well. So it was pretty exciting. I was about 9 years old then. My mum wasn't happy. But yeah, that's my love of football came from Watford and then it led me to a job. So
brilliant. Kelly Summers, now you're a Watford fan, but you're not representing them today because your teammate... It says here comedian.
Wow. Quite Twitter.
Quite a boy, aspiring goalkeeper and Grimsby Town super fan. Are you a super fan? Lloyd Griffith. Morning, Lloyd.
Hello, mate. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
Thanks for having me. I'm all right, yeah.
Have you dried out yet? Because you went to the game on Tuesday night, which was...
Grimsby Macclesfield, rained off half time. It was biblical. It was really, really biblical. There was about a foot of water on the floor. And he got called off at half time, and I was so angry because that was the only reason I went back to Grimsby. And obviously to see my family and my mum and, you know, and that lot. But it is ultimately to see the second round of the Carabao Cup.
You sent me a picture of you and your mum going to the match on Tuesday night, and your mum was dressed in a black and white dress. Was she in a dress?
It was a black and white dress, yeah. She always wears black and white. Her and her mate Tina, they always go to Grimsby games and they always wear black and white. And it's just it's what they do, yeah.
It's good, isn't it?
So they go pretty much all the home games, some away games, and they are always in black and white. And I was just in a nice little turquoise number, to be fair. Like a sore thumb.
You are a goalkeeper.
In a way, yeah.
You are a goalkeeper.
Well, for 17 and a half stone and 5'8", I'm as a goalkeeper as, you know, as much as I'm an athlete, really.
I think you've played in more sort of high-profile games than a lot of actual pro footballers.
I was having a chat to a Grimsby footballer. He's like, what's the biggest stadium you've played in? I was like, well, I played at Anfield. He's like, mate, I'm professional. I haven't even played at Anfield. I was like, to be fair, there were only like 1,000 people there. But I was like, yeah. But you just get asked to play in these games and it's a dream come true. I was too fat to be a footballer. But now to play in these stadiums is absolute dream.
Did you ever get close to sort of Grimsby Town trials or?
No, mate. No. Always been 17 and a half stone from the
day. You want to try again now?
Say again?
You want to try again now?
No.
You probably get a game.
No, don't know. Don't be disrespectful, okay? Grimsby Town are a very good team at the moment this week.
And now, you're also a singer.
Choir school. I was scouted. I was poached.
Held back your goalkeeping career by a choir boy scout.
And then I went to.
How does that work out? Someone hangs around outside a church in a big long coat.
Yeah, basically.
Writing down people.
Yeah, going, "Oi, son, come here." And going, "Oh, mate, how hard can you sing?" Going, "Tom G goes, you're in, son." I got scouted to sing at this choir school. It's really weird, and then just became a singer, and that's kind of what I've done for.
And you still do it, don't you? You're still
sing at like Westminster Abbey, Windsor Castle. Some Saturdays I'll go to a Grimsby match, and I'll be miming. And my mate's like, "Why are you miming?" I'm like, "Oh, I've got bird 4-part mass in the morning, mate. I'm not mucking that up. I don't want a rusty voice. Thanks very much. 45 quid plus that."
And it's a particularly, I'm going to say, weird type of voice you've got, isn't it?
You can
Lloyd?
Say weird if you want, mate. You
George Alex Kelly, have you ever heard Lloyd sing?
Can we hear him now?
Very high, he sings.
We should tell the sound man that this is probably going to be
a loss.
I'm not singing high, mate. Don't get me on TalkSport and then ask me to sing like a woman.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I'd rather walk around Times Square naked, mate. That's abuse. I'm not singing high on TalkSport. I'll sing like a man on TalkSport.
Something football-wise. Could you sing us the Champions League?
What about Grimsby Town's we only sing when we're fishing?
Perfect. Perfect. Thank you very much.
We only sing when we're fishing, sing when we're fishing. We only sing when we're fishing.
There we are. Yes. We are marvellous. Now, very, very good. Very good, Lloyd.
Going to wait for the abuse to start flying into
It does not happen. So there we are. We've got Kelly and Lloyd and George and Alex. The scene is set for Wolves versus Grimsby. The kind of fixture that football was invented for, wasn't it? I mean, people are hoping this one gets rained off as well.
You'd say that, but, you know, the largest attendance for any football match in English history was actually Grimsby Town versus Wolverhampton Wanderers at Old Trafford in 19...
You've brought the stat up.
It was like the 30s or 40s or something.
Really? Pre-war, was it?
Yeah, pre-war, yeah. There's about 120,000 people there. Loads of people fainted. Wolves won 5-0 and then faced Pompey in the final. So actually, you're taking the mick, but there's a big one. This rival.
I'm giving you an early goal for that stat.
Oh, yes!
They've gone 1-0 up early. Anything you want to add, George? You're a Man United fan who's playing for Wolves versus Grimsby.
Manchester United play at Old Trafford.
Yes, but we've had more fans there,
mate. I was in the film Grimsby, briefly.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You can't give a goal for that.
Can I get a goal for that?
I have seen that film, and I'm going to take a goal off. Anyway, so there we are. So, to see who goes first, please listen to this clip, and a question will follow. Hoddle and Waddle there with Diamond Lights, a song which spent 8 weeks in the top 75. You know the top 75,
the top
guys.
75. The famous charts.
Everyone counts the top 75 billboard. As the real chart.
The top 10, the top 75.
But what was its highest chart position? Alex and George, we're going to come to you first.
I seem to remember it being going, you know, sailing quite high. I mean, let's say top 75 what? Top 75 worst footballing singles ever. I think it got to, I personally think it got quite high, number 12.
I'm happy to take your lead on this. I'm obviously, I have no memory of this. 12, is that high? Do you think that's high?
I think in the...
Bear in mind, in the 80s, I mean, now you have to sell about five records to get in the top 40.
Yeah.
And then you had to sell like an awful lot, like millions, to get in the top 10.
Yeah, I mean, they were two big stars, not necessarily for...
Hoddle and Waddle, only put together because their names rhyme.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it was pretty high, but maybe not as high as that. Maybe it was about number 14.
Yeah, I think if it had broken into the top 10, he'd have said the top 10 hit.
Oh, good point.
Okay.
Yeah, 14. We'll go 14.
With 14. We'll go 14.
That's good. 14.
Going with 14, yeah. There we are. Kelly and Lloyd.
We just had a little confer, didn't we? And I don't think you'd say top 75. I think you'd have said top 70 if it was 69.
Agree.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to go for 71, aren't we?
71, yeah.
We're going to go for 71 in the top 75. The answer is 12.
Oh, Alex, what?
Absolute nerd.
Do you not remember that?
You old nerd.
Well, did I go 12 first and then 14?
And then 14.
How many points is that worth?
Still take the...
I'm going to give you two goals because you did get it spot on originally.
Very good.
You don't remember them on Top of the Pops, even like a rerun of Top of the Pops. Oh, they've had to stop running 80s Top of the Pops. I just remembered. anyway, here we go. So after the break, first to go will be George and Alex when we find out who is the bigger club, Wolves or Grimsby, on Glory Hunters.
Grimsby. A paradise like no other. Where seagulls dance their merry dance and chip shops serve the finest mushy peas in the known universe. Where the skies are perpetually grey and the most striking drinking establishment is also a barge.
You're listening to Glory Hunters on TalkSport with me, Charlie Baker, where Alex Lowe and George Lewis are representing Wolves and Kelly Summers and Lloyd Griffith are on the Grimsby team sheet. We go to the round that we call...
My club's bigger than your club. My club's bigger than your club.
My club's bigger than your club. Now, we're coming to you, George and Alex, first, and you have 30 seconds to tell us why Wolves is bigger than Grimsby.
I've done a bit of research. I've got two words, Robert and Plant. Celebrity fans, got a lot of huge celebrity fans who have gone for the Wolves over the years. Edward Elgar is one of this one for you, Lloydie, who wrote Land of Hope and Glory, what have you, came to Molyneux in 1898. Sir Billy Wright, of course, was married to one of the Beverly sisters. And I just wonder, you know, in the old VIP room at Grimsby on a match day, must be a veritable who of show business. There's you there. Any other big celebrities?
Just Lloyd.
Yeah, so I think it's really a question of, I think that the biggest clubs in the world have the biggest stars and Wolves have their fair share of big stars.
Really went in on Lloyd, though.
Yeah,
it wasn't really about...
It was
Grimsby
a personal
town,
attack,
wasn't it?
No, it wasn't even about celebrating
Wolves. It was like a personal attack.
It was more, you know, Lloyd is arguably their most famous fan, is all
that's
I'm saying.
That's
I also
damning.
Think that exposed your lack of Wolves knowledge.
Yes.
You explained how you're a Wolves fan. And you're only a Wolves fan through your son, and I think that
through your fridge door
them,
and your son.
There's a lot of good points happening here.
That is absolutely
now,
true.
This is nearly out of 10 this round. I'm going to give you two for the mention of the Beverly Sisters.
The lead singer of Pop Will Eat Itself is a Wolves fan as well.
Yep. I'm back down to one. Okay, there we are.
I feel like we're punishing Alex here for being a good father.
Yeah,
is that
exactly.
A crime?
Thank you. That's not a crime.
If he comes on here as a Wolves fan, he needs to be able to back himself up, and I don't feel he did that.
And a good father would not let your son support Wolves.
This is a football quiz, not Fathers for Justice. All right, right, okay. Although, it's a lovely Spider-Man outfit. It really is. Okay, we're going to carry on now. Lloyd Griffith, Kelly Summers, will you please tell us why Grimsby is a bigger club than Wolverhampton Wanderers?
Well, Wolverhampton Wanderers, they might have like a few celebrity fans, but they've got no identity whatsoever. Like Grimsby have an identity. Do you know what I mean? If you ask someone what Grimsby's famous for, Kelly, what would you say Grimsby's famous for?
Fish, obviously.
Fish, there you go.
Yep.
with the Mariners. We're a lovely little sleepy seaside town. And you say to someone, oh, what's Wolves famous for? And the answer you probably get back is, because it's famous for nothing, do you know what I mean? You're just a town that is next to other towns like West Brom and Wolves, just like a melee of boring towns that begin with W. Nobody has ever seen a wolf in Wolverhampton. There are lots of Mariners and seamen in Grimsby. Yeah. Your town is just
You have to admit, it was very good general.
It was very general,
though.
Very general.
It mentioned more about football than you did in your answer, Alex, which seemed to mention Robert Plant a lot.
It was unspecific.
It was a very good answer.
Thank you.
It was a great guest from you, Kelly, from Fish. Very good. I mean, Lloyd does
well, everyone,
he
everyone
has just
knows.
Come back from Grimsby, so that is the smell at the moment. Yours is more full of love for your actual team rather than having a go at the other team. Yeah. So I'm going to give you 4 goals.
Four goals there.
Still out of 10. Still pathetic. So at the end of the first round, it is Wolves 2, Grimsby 5. Now, they say actions speak louder than words, but it depends who's speaking. Because when Tony Cascarino talks, people listen. Apart from maybe Mrs. Cascarino. He's probably heard all those stories before. But we need our panel to pay attention as he recites some of his favourite quotes from the world of sport. All our teams have to do is identify who said them. Now, Kelly and Lloyd, you are in the lead at the moment. So we're going to start with you. I will give you A, B and C. And here's Tony with the first quote.
It's just a job. Grass grows, birds fly, waves pound the sand. I beat people up.
It's quite poetic at the start. It's like something that Eric Cantona would say. And then at the end, just something that Lennox Lewis would say.
Oh, well, let's hear the three options of who it might be. Cool. Here we go. A, Neil Ruddock. B, Muhammad Ali. C, Matt Holland.
It's not Matt Holland.
No, it's not Matt Holland.
Matt Holland wouldn't say about beating people up.
He's too nice.
Yeah, he's a nice bloke. I hope he's listening to this. He'll like that. He's a nice bloke.
I had loads of swaps of Matt Holland growing up.
Did you?
Stickers, yeah.
Stickers, I'm assuming. Yeah.
He's a nice bloke. He's a nice bloke.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
But it's not him. So who is A and B?
Neil Razor Ruddock or Muhammad Ali?
Both used to pounding people.
But opposite ends of the spectrum, though.
I don't know. One floats like a butterfly and one looks like what a butterfly looks like.
A bulldog.
A butterfly. Razor's listening. Love your work.
Lovely.
Don't come round and beat me up.
Should we go Razor?
Do you reckon?
Or is it too poetic?
It's quite poetic though, isn't it? Mm. But then I think it's one of those ones that'll be absolute reach around. That's the right
no,
word.
No, let's go. Let's go.
I can't help myself. Yeah.
I've done a complete U-turn. I think maybe we should go Muhammad Ali.
You reckon Muhammad Ali?
You want to put this on me, don't you?
No, not at all. It's a team game. Do you know what I mean?
We're very indecisive, but I think we'll go for B.
We're going to go for B, Muhammad Ali. The answer is Muhammad Ali. Yes. Congratulations.
Yeah,
gold to you.
Thank you.
Here we go. Question two. Alex and George, who said this?
Whoever said it's not whether you win or lose that counts, probably lost.
I mean, yeah, makes sense.
Do you like the quote, George?
I like it, yeah. It's that's not poetic, is it? That's
no. Here's some answers for you. A, Brian Clough. B, Martina Navratilova. C, Claire Balding. Clough, Navratilova. Balding.
I don't think it's Balding. I think she's too caring for that.
Yeah, that's right. It's definitely a football quote, I'd say.
Do you reckon? I don't know, because it could be Clough, but I think he's got a bit more wit than that. Whereas Martina, he's a bit dry at times.
I think it might be Martina then, I think.
You happy with that?
Should we go for Martina?
Yeah, we're going to go with Martina.
Okay, Martina Navratilova. The answer is Martina Navratilova. Yeah. It's one all in this round. Well, here we go. Third quote.
Michael Owen to Newcastle is the biggest transfer of the season so far, and it will be until there is a bigger one.
There we are. Michael Owen to Newcastle. A, Jim White. B, Gary Lineker. C, Mark Pugach. White, Lineker, Pugach.
I know Jim White. And that would be the kind of thing that he says.
It's not Pugach.
It's not Pugach. I think Lineker, too intelligent. No offence to Jim White. And again, Jim, good morning. But I think it is. I think that is definitely a Jim White quote.
Kelly, what do you
think? I'm not going to hold a man back. You're confident there. I'm going to go.
I feel like Lloyd steamrolled you into that answer.
Well, he got the other answer. When the other guys had their question, he knew it and he got it right. So I'm feeling confident with you at the moment, Lloyd. Don't let me down.
I just think it is a classic Jim White quote.
Okay, the answer is Jim White.
Yes,
there we are, it's 2-1. Okay, quote four.
The first 90 minutes are the most important.
Anyone could have said that. Anyone said that.
Okay, here we go. Is it Gazza, Harry Redknapp or Bobby Robson? A, Gazza. Oh. B, Harry Redknapp. C, Bobby Robson. It's quite a hard one.
That
isn't
is it? Tough. That could be any of them, couldn't it?
It's not very insightful, is it?
Alex, you do impressions? At all?
Well, you know, it's sort of. No.
That's Harry Redknapp.
There's a great mate of mine, Steve Williams, who does great impressions. And one of them is Harry Redknapp.
Can we get him on?
Yeah, did he drive you here today? I was attempting to do his version.
Okay. I'll do an impression of Steve Williams. Impression of an impression.
Yeah. Gazza, Harry Redknapp, Bobby Robson. George, come on, mate.
I don't think it's Gazza. I think Bobby Robson, he's prone to sort of saying something dreamy and nonsensical like that, isn't he?
I don't know. I think he's slightly more articulate, more eloquent than that, more poetic. I would go Harry Redknapp.
No. Your team captain, George. Do you want to pull rank?
Go on, you pull rank, please.
Yeah, I will. It's Bobby Robson, I reckon.
It is Bobby Robson. Oh! There we are.
So, well done. It's all right.
So you both got full marks on that round, and the scores at the end of that round are Grimsby 7, Wolves 4. Now, after the break, we'll find out what happened to Matt Letizier and his Southampton teammates after a night out.
Inevitably, we ended up coming back at about midnight to this biggest nightclub in Bangor, right next to our hotel. Now, the DJ in the nightclub was obviously a massive football fan because he recognised every one of us as we were coming into the club, and he was introducing us one by one over the microphone.
That's all to come on Talk Sport and Glory Hunters.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This is Glory Hunters on TalkSport with me, Charlie Baker, the show which aims to find the smartest celebrity fans in football. Each week, our guests have the honour of representing the side they've always supported as they seek to progress to the next round. Today's fixture is Wolves versus Grimsby, a tie that is essentially the real ale of football. On the team sheet for Wolves today are a pair of jokers, Alex Lowe and George Lewis, while Kelly Summers and Lloyd Griffith are representing Grimsby. Before the break, we asked what happened to Matt Letizier and his Southampton teammates after a night out.
Inevitably, we ended up coming back at about midnight to this biggest nightclub in Bangor, right next to our hotel. Now, the DJ in the nightclub was obviously a massive football fan because he recognised every one of us as we were coming into the club, and he was introducing us one by one over the microphone.
George, Alex, Southampton's Matt Letizia there. What do you think could possibly have happened in a nightclub?
Well, I think, blimey, go on.
Oh, I don't know, he's introducing him. I presume he got someone wrong. Did he maybe introduce Letizia as someone else, as Peter Beardsley? Or could have been.
Yeah, that's right. I think he got someone's name wrong.
I think he got someone's name wrong. Lloyd, Kelly.
I think they had to sing. They had to sing Wigfield Saturday night.
We're not going to get that stupid.
There we go. Okay, we've got someone to get up on the stage and sing Wigfield Saturday night.
Can we just say you just have to get up on the stage and sing?
No, I've got your answer. Alex,
I'll tell you what it is. You talk about he came in, he announced them as they all walked into the club to the tune of When the Saints Go Marching In.
So what is your answer? I don't think you're allowed to answer. When the Saints Go Marching In. I'm not the adjudicator here, but...
Yours was the name going wrong. That's your answer, and your name is getting up and singing Saturday
Nick,
night
the
by Wigfield. Let's
no.
find out from Matt Letizia what happened.
Inevitably, we ended up coming back at about midnight to this biggest nightclub in Bangor right next to our hotel. Now, the DJ in the nightclub was obviously a massive football fan because he recognised every one of us as we were coming into the club, and he was introducing us one by one over the microphone. But what we didn't realise at this point in the evening is that Bawley's bedroom backed immediately onto the nightclub. And the walls obviously weren't that thick. So when we started rolling in at 2 o'clock in the morning, Bawley has stood up in reception waiting for us. And he went, I want a word with you upstairs now. So I sat down on this sofa and he comes sit next to me. He went, look, I've just had to give a massive rollicking to Dave Besant, Ian Dowie, Jim Magilton. He said, they're my senior professionals and they're setting a bad example to the young kids in my team. He said, and you are the captain. He said, but the way you're playing, he said, you can do whatever you want to get yourself to bed.
There we are, Alan Ball giving him some slack because he was a good player.
Neither
team gets any points.
How could we possibly have known that Alan Ball's
room backed onto
the nightclub?
Well, I told you it didn't have a boring ending.
It's niche, isn't it?
Matt Letizia then with Tales from the Manga, which sounds like a brilliant book if anyone ever wants to write that. Now, next up, I want each of you to abandon your principles and go all out for glory in the round that we call
Sporting Heretics.
You'll each have to deliver a piece of pure sporting blasphemy as you lay waste to a sacred cow of my choosing. Quite simply, the more horrified, shocked and disgusted I am, the more you will score. And what happens a lot of the time on this round is I agree with you. So, but then you might get points for that as well. The points are up in the air. Who cares? I'm going to select the order. George, you're going to go first.
Okay.
And you are going to tell us football managers are given too much time.
Well, I think they are given too much time. I think it should be a winner stays on system. So if you lose a match, you're out. I don't think there's any points for loyalty. I think people often say you should back your manager. That will give them confidence. I don't think it does. You might not know this, but I have actually been a manager for 15 years of a woefully unsuccessful fantasy league team. And I know that job is safe. So it just means that I got complacent, I give up. So I think if you got sacked after you lose and then a new manager comes in, you know that a team will always win the first game with a new manager. I mean, it's a perfect system. And if you mess up, you'll just have another go in a few months. So or if you're Watford, a few weeks.
I knew that was going to come.
I'm going to give you 4 goals out of 10. Just for the little dig at Watford at the end of it. Okay, very generous. Okay, Kelly. Football fans should be quiet.
They should. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I go to football as a release. I also go there for work, but I go there for release, for relaxation, to escape everyday life. Everyday life is noisy. When I go down the road, there's cars, there's people talking rubbish. Like at the moment, I've got you guys talking rubbish. There's too much noise. When I go to football, I want to really enjoy the game. I don't want to hear people around us. I don't want people shouting, especially if it's a bad game. I don't want Bob next to me shouting obscenities at the pitch. I want to hear Troy Deeney grunt every time he goes up to head the ball. I want to hear when Jose Holobas swears and when he crunches a tackle for his obligatory yellow card that he gets every single game. I want to hear everything. And also, just think about it. We've got VAR now in the Premier League. Sorry to all non-Premier League fans. If we were quiet at football games, we would be able to hear a bit more of what the ref is saying. We'd be able to hear those decisions maybe a little bit more. Also, if I want to have a sleep, I want to have a sleep at football because I'm going there to relax. And do not even get me started on clappers and fake noise and all of that, because that is really annoying.
Although, if you do want it just to be quiet, just go and watch Arsenal. That's what you have to go and do. Wow. Just go and... Kelly, excellent answer. I'm going to give you 7 goals there. 7 goals for Kelly Summers. Lloyd, footballers aren't paid enough.
Yeah, I don't think that footballers are paid enough. I know a lot of people would disagree with me on this. But the thing is, they have to put up with so much stick online nowadays. Now they've got Twitter accounts and Instagram accounts. You go and look at someone's Twitter account, they'll be like, oh, I can't wait for the next game. And they're just absolutely shouted down, called all things under the sun. And obviously at the stadium during the games, they're, you know, they're giving a lot of stick on the way to take a corner or a throw-in. So I think that they should be paid more based on how much abuse they get on a weekly basis, okay? So if someone gets hurled abuse and by their own fans, then they just have to get paid a little bit more. And if you want to see those footballers paid less, then you give them less abuse, do you know what I mean? And then the game is a nicer game, do you know what I mean? You're not hurling abuse at your favourite players. So essentially, the more they get abused, you know, the more money they're getting, which then goes back into society. So, you know, if you call Jesse Lingard an horrible name, you have to pay for a new hospital in Berkshire. So that's the way I see it. I think they should be paid more because they get abused. You don't want to abuse them, they get paid less. Simple as that.
It was a good answer, Lloyd.
Thank you very much.
I disagree with some of your things because you made Twitter seem relevant and what people say on Twitter seem relevant. And actually, yeah, people who abuse people on Twitter are just screaming into a big black
yeah,
void.
But you would say that, though, mate, because you're an idiot. little joke there about abuse.
Lovely. Okay, that's fine, it was very good, but I particularly like your joke about a new hospital for Berkshire because they also do need one. So that is lovely, isn't it? So I'm going to give you six goals,
Thank
Lloyd.
You.
Six goals.
Strong round.
I quite Alex. Like that because you could shout compliments at people and eventually bankrupt them.
Yes.
What a good idea. Yeah. Seven goals for
Thank
Lloyd.
You.
Seven goals
yeah.
for Lloyd.
What
Jimmy.
Am I doing?
That's a lovely assist there. Cheers, pal.
There we go. OK, it was a little assist on the end there. Alex, you're going to finish this round. I don't like Soccer Aid.
Oh, God, yes, yeah, Soccer Aid. Now, just to make this absolutely clear, I'm not talking about the charity. I'm a big fan of charity. It's the match. It's really the match I don't like. Yeah. You know, a lot of, ex-pop stars, that young lad from 1D coming on, then doing interviews afterwards about the midfield system. I don't want to hear that from him. You know, similarly, I don't want to see an ex-footballer raise a ruddock sort of up there doing a 1D dance routine. Yeah. I'm not interested. These people have it all going for them. You know, Robbie Williams has got a wonderful life in LA and he's mixing with all the celebrities around. I want to say Celine Dion, I don't know why, but sort of.
He's mixing with Celine Dion.
Paula Abdul, all the lot. And, you know, what he fancies one day, phones up Jonathan Wilkes and says, you know, hey, Jonathan, you know, you're a sort of ex-celebrity of sorts. Why don't we go and have a match at Old Trafford? How are they, just on a whim, allowed? Their lives are privileged enough. And then it's a bit like they set this thing up. You think it's got all the credentials, a big stadium, there's fans there, it's going to be televised. It's like going to the cinema, buying all your Kiora, buying your, you know, spending £574 on 2 ounces of pick and mix. And the film starts and, oh, God, it's a Guy Ritchie film. You know, it's like the biggest letdown. And it's just, I don't want to see a lot of fat ex-pop stars or footballers running around doing something that is not quite as good as the real thing.
Difficult to argue with the charity though, isn't it, Alex? They do make a lot of money for charity and that is an excellent cause. And actually, Razor Ruddock dancing to 1D is the BBC One autumn schedule. it's very difficult to answer with it. Yeah. Angry with is show business there, Alex, isn't it? How it's become, just how show business has become people doing the thing they're second best at rather than what it used to be, which is people doing the thing they're best at.
Yeah.
There we are. So I can't give you any football goals, but I agree with your show business mentality.
Yeah.
But I'm going to give you one goal just for entering. Just one goal there,
people
Alex.
Out there
I'm talking about. Round.
Absolute landslide in that round. People out there know what I'm talking about.
What were you saying, Lloydie?
Can I say, if Robbie Williams and Jonathan Wilkes are listening, I would absolutely love to play.
So would I.
I would pay to play, not a problem.
Yeah.
So match whatever the donation is next year. Happy to go bankrupt. because I just love charity and going in goal.
Okay, a goal off for Lloyd there for
desperation.
Completely desperate on
that was
Glory
begging.
Hunters. Begging, wasn't it?
It was.
Showbiz begging. That's on Channel 5 next Wednesday night. So at the end of that round, which is an absolute landslide, the scores are Grimsby 20, Wolves 9.
Oh, yes!
Bolton have won just three of their last two games.
Time now for a round we're calling Back in the Day. We're going to travel back to a landmark year in both clubs' history. George and Alex, we're going to go back to 1980 and Wolves 1-0 victory over Nottingham Forest in the League Cup final. I know you remember it well, both of you. Neither of you being huge Wolves fans.
Andy Gray.
The Andy Gray goal. Congratulations. Here it is.
Daniel playing it towards Andy Gray. Could be interesting. And this is the goal. Andy Gray has scored it. Needham and Shelton got in a terrible mix. And Andy Gray has the simplest of jobs to put Wolves into the lead.
Andy Gray there scoring the only goal of the game that meant Wolves beat the then European champions Nottingham Forest. But what else do you remember of that year? Here we go. Are we ready, lads?
Yes.
Question one. After winning the League Cup, the biggest TV event of the year will have no doubt passed most Wolves fans by. So here's a reminder of what it was.
Who's there?
Was, of course, the shooting of J.R. Ewing.
Oh, no, that was a question.
A question, lads.
Oh, God.
It's not that easy on Glory Hunters. Well, it
oh,
is.
Blimey.
Often it is that easy.
What's
on
the
Glory
question?
Hunters.
Who would you like to shoot? Is that the question?
No. Now, what we want to know is who shot J.R.? It was the name. It was the question on everybody's lips. Hold on. You've got A, his wife, Sue Ellen. B, his wife's sister. C, the cleaner who fired the gun by accident, having found it in the bin.
I thought it was none of those.
I wish this was being filmed because his facial expressions there were absolutely brilliant.
He was very confident.
He was so confident. And then he went, nope, for A, nope for B. He looks at you as if to say, Charlie, you're lying.
Desperation.
Yeah. Hold on.
He leaned over and put his finger on my lips as if to say, I've got this.
And it was that deterioration, wasn't it, where he's like, I haven't got this.
Hold George, on. Have you ever seen an episode of Dallas in your life?
No, I've no. I mean, I'm 1980. I mean, I wouldn't like to guess how old you are.
No.
But I'm a bit younger.
I'll read them again. A, his wife, Sue Ellen. Who shot JR? His wife, Sue Ellen. B, his wife's sister. C, the cleaner who fired the gun by accident, having found it in the bin.
The answer is A, Sue Ellen.
You've gone for A, his wife, Sue Ellen. The answer is B, his wife's sister.
Well, that's unspecific. His wife's sister, I mean.
I'm hoping we get who shot Dirty Den in EastEnders in the early 90s.
You haven't got that. Question two, the Post-it note, Newsnight and CFAX all made their debut in 1980, but who else made their debut that year? A, Tony Adams, B, Brian Robson, C, the Rubik's Cube. I don't think he was a player. I don't think he played the Rubik's Cube. Tony Adams, Brian Robson, the Rubik's Cube. What else made their debut, or who else made their debut that year?
Right, 80. I don't think it'd be weird if it's the Rubik's Cube, because why would...
I remember it being out in 1980.
Right, it is the Rubik's Cube then.
I remember it definitely being out, but I don't know whether you would put that into the question.
Would you call it a debut? Robson. Is it slightly...
Captain Marvel, you're a Man United fan.
Yeah.
George, apparently.
18, apparently.
Oh, well, it must be, because the first question...
It feels too early for Adams. I think it's Brian Robson.
Going for B, Brian Robson. The answer is the Rubik's Cube. There we are. Question three. Wolves captain Emmeline Hughes climbed the Wembley steps to lift the League Cup, what was so special about that moment? A, it meant that he'd won every domestic honour in the game. B, it was the third time he'd lifted the League Cup. C, the then FA chairman, Sir Harold Thompson, who handed him the trophy, was his former PE teacher.
Oh, I think it's definitely C.
Emmeline Hughes.
Yeah.
I think legend of sports quizzes, not just football.
Well, the first answer there is that he's won every trophy in football.
Every domestic honour in the game.
Domestic honour.
It was the third time he'd lifted the League Cup. The then FA chairman, Sir Harold Thompson, who handed him the trophy, was his former PE teacher.
At that point, domestic honour, so it would have been FA Cup, League Cup and
yeah, and who league, lifted right? the cup in 76 for Liverpool? That was possibly him, wasn't it?
Don't ask more questions.
Okay, I think it's that one. The every domestic honour.
The answer is A, he'd won every domestic honour in the game. So in that round, you scored one goal. Well done. Kelly and Lloyd, we're going all the way back to a truly momentous moment in Grimsby's history. Cast your mind back to 1995, when for the fifth consecutive season, Grimsby won the Lincolnshire Cup.
hands, Lloyd. Come on, Lloyd.
Nick and Joe. You've not got any commentary for that?
No, just that.
Unbelievable. This is degrading.
The thing is about it, we all remember where we were, what we were doing. Yes. When Grimsby won the Lincolnshire Cup.
On a national scale.
Disrespectful, isn't it?
It's very disrespectful.
It's disrespectful.
Yeah. We all remember where we were, so, but what else do you remember from that year?
1995.
Kelly, you ready? 1995.
I was very young.
Question one. 1995 was, of course, the year that this happened.
Oh, what's going on here? Catanar's getting involved with some supporters. Oh, this is outrageous. Norman Davies, the Manchester United kit man, trying to pull him away. It's all got wildly out of hand. And once more, Eric Cantona is the man at the centre of a dramatic controversy.
Put your collars down, Lloyd. Okay, Eric Cantona's kung fu kick into the crowd after his sending off at Crystal Palace. But can you tell me what was the final score in that game? Was it A, 1-0 Man United, B, 1-0 Palace, C, 1-1?
It's just quite annoying because when you said what was the score in that game, I knew there was the number one in it.
Oh,
but all of those
give him the points then, Charlie. Yeah,
I've had the one in it. I remember that the next day, because I was 12 years old.
Yeah,
I wasn't even at school at this point.
Not at school, no, no.
No.
Oh, I don't show off.
No, it's more that I'm just trying to disclaim that I don't know. Okay. I should know though, because it's a big moment in history.
It definitely had a one in it, and I'm not, you know, discounting that. So
yeah, I've given you that in the answer. Cool. I've said, is it 1-0 Man United, 1-0 Palace, 1-1?
I would say, I actually think Man United won it 1-0.
But you think?
I think, yeah, but I think the answer will probably be they lost it 1-0, but it also could be 1-0.
So are we going to go with the one you think it is or the one you think it's the actual answer?
That's another question, isn't it? I'm going to go with, I think it's United won 1-0.
I'm not convinced you really think that, but we'll go with it because I don't know.
So you've gone with Man United 1-0. The answer is 1-1.
Oh, I knew there was a 1-1. I knew there was a 1 in it.
But it wasn't either of the answers you thought it was.
Because I said three times there was a 1 in it. Yeah. Okay, question two. Along with DVDs and PlayStations, what else made their debut this year, 1995? A, the sitcom Friends. B, David Beckham. C, The Sopranos. What else made their debut this year? The sitcom Friends, David Beckham, The Sopranos.
Well, you just pointed a finger at me as if, like, don't speak.
Don't speak. No, that was me trying to work stuff out.
Big Friends fan, Kelly?
I do like Friends. I don't know
like
anything.
Sopranos?
No, don't know anything about The Sopranos.
I'm not a Sopranos. I think, because we don't know anything about Sopranos, we discount Sopranos. Okay.
Even so though it could be the right answer, let's
absolutely,
just pretend
yeah.
it's not there.
Yeah, yep, exactly.
I like your logic there.
You were in The Sopranos, weren't you?
Oh, it was just another fat bloke, wasn't it? Just another fat, hairy bloke that looks half Italian. Brilliant. Well done,
he's
mate.
Just, okay. He doesn't know about it, and you've said he was in it.
Why, mate? Come on my show. I'll absolutely abuse you for.
I think David Beckham.
I would have gone with David Beckham because he went on loan to Preston North End while he was at Man United. So I think look, we'll go with
David Beckham.
It's a nice answer, isn't it?
Kelly, David Beckham. The answer is David Beckham.
Yes.
Question three, 1995 was also the year of this.
Rabbit, 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 rabbit.
That's right, Britpop happened.
Alex just mouthing me down here going, 95, as if to say.
Of course, that was of course not anything to do with Britpop. That was the wonderful Chaz and Dave.
Mm-hmm.
But who had the biggest selling album in 1995? Was it A, Blur?
Lives in a house, very big house in the country.
Was it B, Oasis?
What's the story, Marty, Marty?
Or was it C, Robson and Jerome?
Ooh, my love.
There we are, big Robson and Jerome hit there, Unchained Melody.
Can we get an extra goal for that air guitar from Lloyd?
No, because no one can see it other than us.
But you can.
I can see it. Yeah, I didn't like it. I thought it was showing off, and I don't like a show off. Kelly, do you like Oasis or Blur?
Not a big fan.
Not a big fan
of either.
Oasis more than Blur.
What big groups come out of Watford, any?
Jerry Halliwell from
Jerry
the Spice
Halliwell.
Girls.
Jerry Halliwell from the Spice Girls.
Wham.
All right, I'm Elton asking John. Kelly,
and
not you, Jenny.
That's Lawrence. What I was going to say.
Let Kelly speak.
Normally when you say you're a Watford fan, so many people go, oh, Elton John. And I'm like, yeah?
Yeah. Oh.
He was chairman once. Yeah, it was a big part of our history. But you see, yeah, Elton John, I'd probably say, is kind of a famous Watford fan. But none of those bands came from Watford.
So there's a nice little link between Elton John and Grimsby because he wrote a song from the 1974 album Caribou called Grimsby.
Maybe that's why I'm on a team with you today.
That is exactly why we're on a team together.
How does that go, Lloyd? Do you know how the song...
Oh, Grimsby, a thousand delights, I couldn't match the wonders of... my Grimsby.
Professionally does it. So, any ideas on the answer? A, Blur, B, Oasis, C, Robson and Jerome.
It would be a guess.
I'd go Oasis, but I think I'm just saying that because...
I'm
going to
go
like
with Kelly's answer and Oasis.
Biggest selling album in 1995 was not Oasis, it was Robson and Jerome.
That's disgusting.
Who bought that?
A lot of people.
A lot of mums. Robson and Jerome did indeed have the biggest selling album of the year. In 1995, the single Unchained Melody was number one for 7 weeks. Now you see why a world without smartphones, social media, and the dark web is so dangerous. Now, at the end of that round, the scores are Grimsby 21, Wolves 10.
Ooh,
long way to come back, Jay.
Yes.
Long way. On Glory Hunters, we like to probe in areas other shows shy away from, and that's why we do this. This morning we're in London, again, where our distinguished panel have absolutely no idea what questions the general public will ask them as we play A Question of Sport Time. Can we have our first question, please? You, sir.
How you all doing? I'd like to ask the panel, who or what from the world of sport do you have an irrational hatred of?
There we are. Who or what from the world of sport do you have an irrational hatred of? Thank you, sir. Panel, time to come clean. Who or what do you hate and why? George.
Okay.
You don't seem like a man full of hatred at all.
No, I'm not really, no. But there is someone who's been winding me up a bit recently, and it's Jurgen Klopp. Now, you might think, as a United fan, you know, that's not irrational. But I think the reason I hate him is because he's impossible to hate. He's a lovely, lovely bloke. And as a United fan, let's just say it's not the best time for us at the moment. And in our history, we've always been maybe the biggest club. And I think you might or may not have noticed, but there's been a bit of an arrogance to it as well. We've been quite confidently the biggest club. And now we're not doing very well. And just by pure bit of dumb luck, Liverpool are doing very well. So... it's Jurgen Klopp because I want to hate him because at the moment that's all I've really got is hate, and it's always been so easy to hate Liverpool, but at the moment I watch them play, they play beautiful football, I want to watch it, and then I think at least at the end maybe he'll say something that's a bit arrogant, something that'll annoy me. I'm watching him and he's just charming, he's just lovely, so I hate him because he's taken away the only thing that I've got left at the moment.
Alex Lowe, please give us your irrational hatred.
Well, you know, there's the obviously the ones that sort of everyone thinks about, American cheerleaders at football, halftime things where people run around poles till they get dizzy and try to take a penalty.
Oh, yeah.
Piers Morgan talking about Arsenal and Tottenham. Piers Morgan in general. Don't have to be talking about anything to do with sport. But I suppose the one thing that I really resent is people who jump on the bandwagon. The only sport they like is Wimbledon. Yeah. Wimbledon, I mean, it is tennis, okay, it's not my favourite sport. It's quite boring. It's all about the serve nowadays. But what I find particularly offensive is, you know, people who, as I said, don't follow sport for the rest of the year. Their one contribution to going to a match at Wimbledon is just at the moment the bloke's about to serve, okay. Come on, Tim.
Oh, the worst.
Come on, Tim. Quiet, please. Come on. I mean, in what way is that going to help our dynamic, you know, English sportsmen or women? It's hopeless. I don't like the great and the good in the best seats in the house. I don't like the way they like to make out. It's you know, first come, first serve. If you queue all night and buy the expensive strawberries and all that. And it's just, it's an intrinsically boring sport. and it's made worse by the sort of people who go and watch it. And I hate it.
On that note, can we have our next question, please?
I'd like to ask the panel which sporting memory continues to haunt them.
Lloyd, any sporting event that haunts you?
Yeah, it's Grimsby Town versus Dagenham and Redbridge at the London Borough of Barking and Dagenham Stadium. Yeah. The date is the 28th of October 2008. Now, it was the day after my birthday. I'd recently moved to London from university, and I told all my friends that Grimsby Town, the greatest club in the world, and we should go and see them. And it was arguably one of the worst games of football I have ever witnessed. Now, we had been relegated to League Two in that season, and we lost to Dagenham Redbridge at the London Borough of Barking and Dagenham Stadium. We lost 4-0. We lost 4-0, two goals in each half. And not only that, but there was the largest hailstorm of 2008, according to BBC Newsbeat the next day. And the thing is, in the away end at the London Borough of Barking and Dagenham Stadium, there's no roof. There was no roof. So we were just pelted with, like, absolute... What, just ice, isn't it? Just ice falling from the sky. And the steward wouldn't let us into the cover of the main stand as we watched Grimsby Town getting thumped by Dagenham and Redbridge as we got thumped by ice. And that was the worst birthday I have ever had. Oh. Bearing in mind that last year I got dumped the day after my birthday by my girlfriend and had to move out 2 days after that. Oh. Even that was more enjoyable than watching Grimsby Town getting thumped 4-0 by Dagenham Redbridge at the London Borough of Barking and Dagenham Stadium in 2008.
Oi,
she's listening.
She's over it.
Hope you're well. Absolutely over it. And
is she a big TalkSport listener?
No. She doesn't even know what sport is.
You weren't matched then, Lloyd.
But can you tell me who the Grimsby Town player that was playing that day that now plays for Wolves? If you're such a Wolves fan,
just tell me which date it was again.
It was the 28th of October 2008. Which current Wolves player was playing for Grimsby? Just to see if you are a proper Wolves fan.
Or I think I know.
I know it. Ryan Bennett.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because they did know it. They get an extra two goals.
No wonder she left you.
Kelly, let's see if you can get it back. What haunts you in sport?
This one's tough because I was going to go with the FA Cup final because I'm preempting that's going to haunt me forever because I'm still going through the phase where at the moment you meet someone, who do you support when you say what you do? Watford, FA Cup final, yeah. So I know that's going to haunt me for the rest of my life. However, there was another incident. 2nd of May 2015, I worked for AFC Bournemouth and their press team for 4 years. And Watford and Bournemouth kind of had a little bit of a rivalry and... They were both going for promotion. Both got promoted one weekend. I was in the away end at Brighton on Saturday. Watford got promoted when I was in the car on the way home because it depended on other results. Bournemouth got promoted on the Monday night against Bolton. I was working for Bournemouth on the Saturday. Watford were about to win the championship. They just had to win, I think it was. Yeah, they had to win. They were winning the whole way through 1-0 against Sheffield Wednesday. I was in the press box and I was like, OK, I'm resigned to the fact Watford are going to win it there. Bournemouth are still going to be happy because they're going to win it. They were beating Charlton 3-0. Everyone's happy. We've all got promoted. Bournemouth weren't expected to win the championship. Then a massive cheer erupted from the Bournemouth end. And I remember, never forget, Matt Ritchie turning round and realising that Watford had conceded and everyone around me was celebrating. And I was sitting there and someone went, Kelly, Watford have just thrown the championship away. I mean, you're going up, but... And they'd already, you know, when you hear of teams that have the banner and everything ready, people are about to wheel it on the pitch at Watford because Sheffield Wednesday equalised late. There was a party going on and everyone, all my friends, my other half actually worked at Bournemouth at the time as well. Everyone's really happy. And then I was about to tweet. I'd been left to tweet the final score and I was about to put the runners up graphic and I had to get the champions graphic, tweet it. I was happy because I worked for Bournemouth and I was really pleased for them. But there was a part of me where I knew my mum, my whole family were at the Watford game and I'm imagining them. Everyone's going crazy and then I had to tweet it and then I had to go down this long flight of stairs at the Valley into the tunnel. And I'm not ashamed to say I actually was a bit emotional. I was a bit, okay, just get your professional head on. And I went down and a couple of the players I knew really well. I was obviously really happy for them because there's a lot of friends there. But Harry Arter, Brett Pittman kind of going to me, ha-ha, and me going, it's fine. And me going out and giving out the champions banners and going on the pitch and doing all the interviews. And I was really happy for Bournemouth. I don't want to say that. But it's still a bit of a standing joke that I was in that situation where I was having to celebrate my own team that I've supported my whole life. I was born in the hospital next to the ground. My own team, I had to celebrate their
And you are crying
mess
now.
Up.
This was, this, well, it's, an, this it's is a therapy, really, isn't it? Really, this is really therapy. Good story, Kelly. And you've given us a peek behind the curtain yeah. at a Premier League club. You told us how you kept your professionalism.
Always.
And but also conveyed the absolute horror of being in the stadium when the result is not going your way. I'm going to give you 10 full goals for yes. that round, which means at the end of that round, the scores are Grimsby 39 and Wolves 42. Next up, we go into injury time. But before we do, can you tell me what former Northern Ireland international Gerry Armstrong did next in the Sussex Senior Cup?
I was player coach at the time of the reserves at Brighton, and it was a Sussex Senior Cup game. We were playing against Southwick. These guys were quite physical. So I added a wee bit of physical presence as well.
We'll find out next on Glory Hunters. Into Glory Hunters here on TalkSport with me, Charlie Baker, where Wolves, in the shape of George Lewis and Alex Lowe, have 42 goals, and Grimsby Town, represented by Kelly Summers and Lloyd Griffith, have 39.
Six, absolute six.
A lot of anger. There we are. Before the break, I asked, what did Gerry Armstrong do next in the Sussex Senior Cup?
I was player coach at the time of the reserves at Brighton, and it was a Sussex Senior Cup game. We were playing against Southwick. These guys were quite physical. So I added a wee bit of physical presence as well.
Any ideas? Any ideas? What happened next?
It sounds a bit cheeky, doesn't it, the way he says it?
Bit of physical...
George?
Sussex.
I think that kind of cheekiness, would he have done a sort of Vinnie Jones grab?
Is it like a wedgie type thing?
That is very cheeky.
Wedgie affair.
A wedgie affair. We're going with a wedgie affair.
Let's go with that, sure.
Gerry Armstrong giving a wedgie. Is a Wolves answer. Grimsby Town, Kelly.
You look quite confident about this.
Shoulder pads. I think you wore shoulder pads. You know, like in the 90s. What year
that was
this
not
this?
What I was expecting him to say.
To add a bit of physicality, he kind of wore shoulder pads.
Gerry Armstrong wore shoulder pads, and you think he gave someone a wedgie. Let's find out.
I was player coach at the time of the reserves at Brighton, and it was a Sussex Senior Cup game. We were playing against Southwick. These guys were quite physical. So I added a wee bit of physical presence as well. And unfortunately, I overstepped the mark and got sent off. And once I got sent off, I'd been taking a lot of abuse from a section in the crowd. So I jumped the stand and headbutted and punched a few people who had been giving me stick. And that was the end of my professional career because I retired after that.
Wow.
Do you think if you rewound the tape, you'd hear me say headbutt as my first... answer.
Did you say a headbutt? Did you say?
But you didn't go with it as your final answer.
You didn't give it as your answer, did you?
A wedgie is very different to a headbutt.
It is.
Different end, isn't it?
Okay. Well, you've been a lovely panel. And in the dying moments of the game, we now move into injury time, where each side has 60 seconds to score as many goals as possible. Remember, you're up against the clock, so speed is of the essence. The losing side, current losing side, goes first, which is Grimsby Town on 39 goals. Lloyd and Kelly, are you ready? Quite simply, I need you to tell me which of the following are actual football club nicknames by answering true or false. Do you understand the question?
100%.
Your time starts now. The Carpet Men.
No.
False.
It's true. They are Kidderminster Harriers. Bully Wee.
False.
It is true. Clyde. The Crankies.
False.
It is false. The Bantams.
True.
Bradford City. Bradford, the Tuppenny Nudgers.
False.
The Moody Diva.
True.
Eintracht Frankfurt. Lord Charles.
False.
It is false. The Flying Donkeys.
True.
Chievo. The Flying Pickets.
False.
It is false. The Jedis.
True.
It is false. The Blue Vampires.
False.
Is true. Gloria Britta in Transylvania. Winterfell.
False.
Correct. The Brickies.
True.
Sittingbourne. Clockwork Cheese.
False.
It's true. Albacete FC. The Tommy Knockers.
False.
It is false. Dusty Hermits.
False.
It's false. The Anchovies.
False.
It's Malaga. It's true. The OJs.
True.
It's false. Okay, that's it. Time's up. And at the end of that round, you scored 10 points, which puts you on 49 goals.
Strong.
Next up, it's Wolves. You have 60 seconds to tell me Which of the following are the names of real non-league teams? Right. Do you understand
yes,
the question?
Yes, we understand.
You need eight to win, and your time starts now. Starfleet.
Yes.
True.
False. West Allotment Celtic.
False.
It's true. Billingham Sinfonia.
True.
True.
True. Peckham Royal.
True. True.
False. South Park.
True.
True. Shipperley.
True.
False. Handsworth Paramore.
True.
True. Latchkey Athletic.
False.
False. Mould Alexandra.
True.
True. Keith.
False.
Tis false. Shots Bon Accord.
True.
True. Bakersfield.
True.
True.
It's false. Inverurie Loco Works.
True.
True. Esh Winning.
False.
True. Gary.
False.
False. False. Pilkington Triple X.
True.
True. Lewisham Gods.
True.
False. Woodstock Sports.
False.
True. Staines Llamas.
True.
True. Stone Dominoes.
True.
True. And there we are. Yeah. The end of the round.
The Llamas.
And at the end of that round, you scored 12 goals, which means the final scores are Grimsby 49, but winning this week, Wolves on 54. Yes.
Absolute diabolical.
Everybody's furious every single week
because
if they lose.
We've got someone scoring that can't count.
Whoa! Yes.
We are. That's
we don't like
the statement. Down.
And you've got people reading that the scores that can't read.
Well, in all, it's a great show.
Slammed them.
Winners, have you got any reaction? Wolves,
Stevie
George,
Ball's
Alex?
A tatari, wears an England cap.
He plays for Wolverhampton,
and he's a lovely chip.
There we are. What a lovely football chant that was. Yeah. So, to our winners, we say... And for the losers... So join us at the same time next Sunday. They're still moaning. Join us at the same time next Sunday. Until then, from myself, from Lloyd, Kelly, George and Alex, it's goodbye from Glory Hunters.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.